Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. The United States inaugurated a new president Friday, January 20th. Donald Trump was sworn in as America's 45th president. Ann Ball, Brian Lynn, Ashley Thompson, and Mario Ritter all bring us stories about today's ceremony in Washington. We finish the show, as always, with a classic American story. Today, we hear the fourth and final part of A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs. But first, here are Ann Ball and Brian Lynn with the news from Washington.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will to the Donald Trump took the oath of office Friday to become the 45th president of the United States. He vowed to transfer power from Washington, D.C. to the American people. Outgoing President Barack Obama stood nearby as the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, John G. Roberts, Jr., administered the oath of office to Trump. At his side for the ceremony was his wife, Melania, and his five children. Mike Pence had been sworn in as vice president moments before. It is the scene that has been repeated every 4 years since 1789. Patriotic music was played. Cannons were fired. The Capitol building was decorated with flags. Hundreds of thousands of people came to the Capitol grounds to see the new president sworn in. They wore red, white, and blue clothing with Trump's name on it. Some wrapped themselves in flags. Many cheered the man they had elected to the office. In his inaugural address, President Trump continued with the populist theme that brought him to victory after a bitter campaign.
So to all Americans, in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again.
A light rain fell as Trump spoke. He said, "This will be the day the people will become the rulers." His words targeted many of the very people who surrounded him at the Capitol, Washington's top political leaders.
The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. That all changes, starting right here and right now, because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you.
The new president spoke of putting America ahead of all other nations.
From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families.
He said there will be two simple rules to follow: buy American and hire American.
We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength.
The new U.S. president also said his administration will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world. He also said his administration will attack radical Islamic terrorism, saying he will eradicate it completely from the face of the earth. Former Presidents Jimmy Carter and George W. Bush were there, as was Bill Clinton. His wife, Hillary Clinton, sat with him. She was Trump's opponent in the election, where many angry words were said. 92-year-old former President George H.W. Bush, the 41st president, was unable to attend because he is sick. Many House Democrats refused to attend the ceremony. Trump takes leadership of a nation divided over his election. He is a billionaire businessman with no experience in government. At 70, he is the oldest person to be sworn in as president. He comes into office with 40% approval rating in national polls, the lowest for any new president in decades. Trump won the Electoral College vote, but he lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton by nearly 3 million votes. The day was filled with rich American tradition. It began with Trump and his family attending a service at St. John's Church across the street from the White House. Then Obama and Vice President Joe Biden greeted their successors at the White House, where they had tea with their spouses.
It was reported that Obama left a private letter for his successor, just like George W. Bush had done for him. Then, together, the outgoing and incoming presidents rode in the same vehicle up to Capitol Hill for the ceremony. After the swearing-in, Trump said goodbye to the Obamas as they boarded a helicopter to begin a trip to California. President Donald Trump headed back into the Capitol to sign his first official papers as president, including nominating members of his cabinet. Then it was time to sit down for a traditional lunch with congressional leaders at Statuary Hall in the Capitol. During the ride to the White House, the president and his family stepped out to briefly greet the crowd gathered for the inaugural parade. The long day was expected to close with the president and his wife attending two inaugural parties. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Ann Ball.
protest groups in Washington showed their disapproval of America's new president, Donald Trump, on Friday, Inauguration Day. Police used pepper spray and sound bombs in a clash with protesters not far from the inaugural parade path of President Trump. Police said they arrested more than 90 people for rioting. Several demonstrations took place peacefully at security checkpoints near the U.S. Capitol building. Police helped ticketed visitors enter the ceremony, which was held along the National Mall. Protesters there held signs with various messages, including "Resist Trump, Climate Justice Now," "Let Freedom Ring," and "Free Palestine." But about 2 kilometers from the National Mall, protesters began breaking the windows of businesses, including a Starbucks, a Bank of America, and a McDonald's. Police used pepper spray to try to stop the violence. Some of the more than 1,000 protesters wore gas masks and linked arms. When protesters crossed police lines, officers resisted with batons, pepper spray, and sound bombs. Some protesters threw heavy objects, including bricks, toward police. Others rolled large metal waste containers toward them. Police said the protesters damaged vehicles, destroyed property, and set small fires. I'm Ashley Thompson.
On the first day of his presidency, Donald Trump began making changes to the policies of earlier presidents. A document released by the new Trump White House said the president would soon withdraw from the 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement. The free trade deal was negotiated by the Obama administration. The White House website said Trump would also work to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, known as NAFTA. If our partners refuse a renegotiation that gives American workers a fair deal, then the president will give notice of the United States' intent to withdraw from NAFTA, a White House statement said. Neither action was a surprise. During the presidential campaign, Trump said bad trade deals had hurt employment in America. The NAFTA agreement removed most tariffs on products traded between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It was signed by President Bill Clinton in 1993. The Trump administration also said it is ready to cancel what it called harmful and unnecessary policies. Among them is the Obama administration's plan to reduce pollutants from coal-powered electricity plants. The climate plan was designed to cut gases that cause global warming. Another is a clean water rule to protect small waterways and wetlands from development by the Environmental Protection Agency. More changes will be announced in coming days, the website said. Trump has said he wants to cancel and replace a national health care law known as Obamacare. His cabinet nominees have promised other major changes during Senate confirmation hearings. In education, for example, there are plans to give parents more choice in selecting schools for their children, including private religious schools. And there has been discussion of permitting more drilling, mining, and logging on federal lands. There is a great deal of reform coming to Washington, said Sean Spicer, the chief spokesman for President Trump on Thursday. After the inauguration, Trump signed papers formally nominating the people he wants to form his cabinet. He did so, surrounded by congressional leaders from both parties at the Capitol. The nominations are now before the U.S. Senate, which must approve nominees before they can take their new jobs. Trump also signed a proclamation declaring a National Day of Patriotism and a bill that would permit retired Marine General James Mattis to run the U.S. Defense Department. Late Friday, the Senate voted to approve Mattis as Defense Secretary. In his inaugural speech, Trump said he would carry out his promise to make government focus on America's needs ahead of any others. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land, Trump said. From this moment on, it's going to be America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs, will be made to benefit American workers and American families. Trump, a Republican, won the presidential election after a very difficult campaign against Democrat Hillary Clinton. He promised to change many of the policies put forward over the last 8 years by Democratic President Obama. I'm Mario Ritter.
The huge green warrior, Tars Tarkas, came slowly toward me with his thin sword. I backed away. I did not want to fight him. I did not wish his death. He had been as kind to me as a green Martian can be. As I stood watching him, a rifle fired in the distance. Then another, and another. Tars Tarkas and his warriors were under attack from another tribe of green warriors. Within seconds, a terrible battle raged. As I watched, three of the attackers fell on Tars Tarkas. He killed one and was fighting with the other two when he slipped and fell. I ran to his aid, swinging my sword. He was on his feet. Shoulder to shoulder, we fought against the attackers. They finally withdrew after an hour of fierce fighting.
John Carter, I think I understand the meaning of the word friend. You saved my life when I was about to take yours. From this day, you are no longer a captive among our people, but a leader and great warrior among us.
There was a smile on his face. Once again, he took off a metal band from his arm and gave it to me.
I have a question for you, John Carter. I understand why you took the Red Woman with you. But why did Sola leave her people and go with you?
She did not want to see me or the princess harmed. She does not like the great games held by your people where captives are led to die. She knows if she is caught, she too will die in the games. She told me she hates the games because her mother died there.
What? How could she know her mother?
She told me her mother was killed in the games because she had hidden the egg that produced her. Her mother hid Sola among other children before she was captured. Sola said she was a kind woman, not like others of your tribe. Tars Tarkas grew angry as I was speaking, but I could see past his anger. I could see pain in his eyes. I immediately knew Sola's great secret. I have a question for you, Tars Tarkas. Did you know Sola's mother?
Yes, and if I could have, I would have prevented her death. I know this story to be true. I have always known the woman who died in those games had a child. I never knew the child. I do now. Sola is also my child.
For 3 days, we followed the trail left by the Princess Deja Torres, Sola, and poor, ugly Wula. At last, we could see them in the distance. Their animal could no longer be ridden. They were talking. When we came near, Wula turned to fight us. I slowly walked to him with my hand out. Sola was standing nearby. She was armed and prepared to fight. The princess was lying next to her feet. Sola, what is wrong with the princess?
She has been crying much these past few days, John Carter. We believed you died so we could escape. The thought of your death was very heavy on this woman, my friend Deja Thoris. Come and tell her you are among the living. Perhaps that will stop her crying.
I walked to where the Princess Deja Thoris was lying on the ground. She looked at me with eyes that were red from crying. Princess, you are no longer in danger. Tars Tarkas has come with me as a friend. He and his warriors will help to see you safely home. And Sola, I would have you greet your father, Tars Tarkas, a great leader among your people. Your secret no longer means death to anyone. He already knows you are his daughter. The two of you have nothing to fear. Sola turned and looked at Tars Tarkas. She held out her hand. He took it. It was a new beginning for them.
I know our world has never before seen anyone like you, John Carter. Can it be that all Earthmen are like you? I was alone, a stranger, hunted, threatened. Yet you would freely give your life to save me. You come to me now with a tribe of green warriors who offer their friendship. You are no longer a captive, but wear the medal of great rank among their people. No man has ever done this.
Princess, I have done many strange things in my life, many things much smarter men would not have done. And now, before my courage fails, I would ask you to be mine in marriage. She smiled at me for a moment, and then her dark eyes flashed in the evening light.
You have no need of your courage, John Carter, because you already knew the answer before you ask the question.
Several days later, we reached the city of Helium. At first, the red men of Helium thought we were an attacking army. But they soon saw their princess. We were greeted with great joy. Tars Tarkas and his green warriors caused the greatest excitement. This huge group of green warriors entered the city as friends and allies. I soon met Tardos Mors, the grandfather of Dejah Thordis. He tried several times to thank me for saving the life of the princess, but tears filled his eyes, and he could not speak. For 9 years, I served in the government and fought in the armies of Helium as a prince of the royal family. It was a happy time. The princess Dejah Thordis and I were expecting a child. Then, one day, a soldier returned from a long flight. When he landed, he hurried to the great meeting room. Tardos Mors met with the soldier and reported that every creature on the planet had but 3 days to live. He said the great machines that produced the atmosphere on the planet had stopped producing oxygen. He said no one knew why this had happened, but there was nothing that could be done. The air grew thin within a day. Many people could do nothing but sleep. I watched as my princess was slowly dying. I had to try something. I could still move with great difficulty. I went to our airport and chose a fast aircraft. I flew as fast as I could to the building that produced the atmosphere of the planet. Workers were trying to enter. I tried to help. With a great effort, I opened a hole. I grew very weak. I asked one of the workers if he could start the engines. He said he would try. I fell asleep on the ground. It was dark when I opened my eyes again. My clothing felt stiff and strange. I sat up. I could see light from an opening. I walked outside. The land looked strange to me. I looked up to the sky and saw the red planet Mars. I was once again on Earth in the desert of Arizona. I cried out with deep emotion. Did the worker reach the machines to renew the atmosphere? Did the air reach the people of that planet in time to save them? Was my princess Dejah Thordis alive, or did she lie cold in death? For 10 years now, I have watched the night sky looking for an answer. I believe she and our child are waiting there for me. Something tells me that I shall soon know.
That's all the time we have for today. I'm Katie Weaver for VOA Learning English. Thanks for listening.